Hi everyone, welcome back to Zero Waste Step by Step. This is Emily and this is episode 10 of the podcast. I hope you're doing really well and you've had a good first month of the year. This is my first time recording this in January, which is ridiculous. I've almost forgotten what to do. But what I'm going to talk to you about today is my intentions, my zero waste intentions for 2021. So swaps that I loved in 2020 and that I'm going to be bringing into 2021. Things maybe that I'm leaving behind or new swaps that I've tried this year that I want to continue with. And just really stuff that I want to continue learning and things that I want to start doing just to make my zero waste life a little bit easier. I also want to talk about today staying motivated to stick with this lifestyle if maybe you've been doing it like me for a while now and it's not a new exciting shiny thing that you've started doing, because if you're anything like me, I find it hard to stick with things. I don't know what it is. I start something or I start learning about something new and once the newness of it or the shine goes off it, I don't always want to continue, but this is something that is a lifestyle change that I do want to stick with forever and hopefully continue learning and trying new things and, you know, doing new things. So it's not something I want to see as a fad or a stage that I'm just going to, like a hobby that I've picked up and then left behind. I want to continue growing and learning and sharing information. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that as well and motivation within Zero Waste. So I think I should just jump on into it because I've got 20 intentions. I didn't mean for it to be a round number like that, but that's very satisfying. I just started writing things down earlier and it turned out to be 20. So let's just jump right in. So number one is not becoming, as I just mentioned, disillusioned with sustainability and feeling overwhelmed and just feeling, well, I can't do enough. So what's the point in doing all this? What's the point in trying my best to be sustainable when there's so many things around me that are not, maybe people or your workplace or whatever it is, maybe that's getting you down, or just the world in general, things that you see on the news, just not letting that get to you and just continuing to do the small things that you can do to contribute and not getting sucked back into consumerism and things like that. Because I don't know why, but recently I found myself with some sort of like craving or need to buy new things. Not loads of things, I haven't been going out and going mad, but it's just like one or two things where I've thought, why do I have such a strong urge to go out and buy these things? Like, do I really need them? And then I watched a video recently about the psychology behind consumerism and the link to zero waste. And it basically explained it really well in that when you buy something, for a lot of people anyway, you get like a rush of like, I don't know, endorphins or adrenaline or something that makes you feel really happy and satisfied that you've bought something new, whether that's ordering something online, arriving at your house, or going out and buying stuff in a physical shop. And when you first go into a zero waste lifestyle and you start making swaps, getting new things to substitute less sustainable things you were doing before, it's almost like a continuation of those consumeristic habits, but just in a different way, because you're still going out and buying stuff or discovering new things. You're still getting the same rush from buying new things. Or even if you find them secondhand, what I mean is it's a similar sensation to maybe your old consumeristic habits if you're just carrying those through into your new sustainable lifestyle. If you're doing similar things, i.e. always finding new substitutes, finding new replacements, new swaps, new websites, you're still getting a rush from learning this new information and from doing these new things. If you've reached a place in your zero waste journey, maybe like I have, where you've been doing it for a little bit longer and you've made all the normal switches, you've switched to a safety razor, you've changed all your cleaning products, you've switched to solid products instead of liquid products, you know, not wasting food, sort of altering the way you do things. If you've reached a point where you feel like you're fulfilling most swaps that you know of, and there's nothing to keep, no rush to keep chasing, no endorphins to keep receiving by, you know, finding these new zero waste substitutes, maybe, and I hope this is not the case, you might start to feel a little bit, you know, that the shine has gone off it and a little bit disillusioned because it's no longer exciting, it's no longer a new thing. because you've reached a stable point in your journey where you're just doing the same things every week and you're just, you know, you've implemented the practices into your life and they're now a recurring stable thing and you're not constantly finding new swaps and new things and new replacements all the time like you were in the beginning. So if this is you as well, I just want to encourage you to carry on with what you're doing because you've done amazingly to get to the point where you feel like you've made all these swaps in your life and that you've managed to, you're not still searching for replacements and replacements. Like you've found a point of stability and you don't have to keep trying to find new things. That's good. That should be a good thing. We shouldn't feel down about that or, you know, that it's not as exciting anymore. I think you just have to lean back and settle into that stability that you found and these practices and new things that you found and just continue doing them and keep up the good work and not let that those consumeristic thoughts and habits come back into your life. Hopefully you can still get that same rush from sharing sustainable information with people, with friends and family or online. Or maybe, you know, learning new things. There's always new things to learn within the sustainability space. So, you know, reading a book or watching a documentary or something like that is something to keep you going, to keep yourself interested in the movement. And then in a similar vein to this, really, my second intention is not to demand perfection of myself. So I've got to practice what I preach. So I haven't got to be too hard on myself. I know that overall the impact I'm having is good. If I have to buy things in plastic sometimes, that's completely normal. If I have to buy something new, if I have to buy something off Amazon, like these are things that just happen in life and like, and I just have to accept them. I need to just continue to focus on the positive impact. So if sometimes I need to put hygiene or convenience or safety or something like or my mental health before making a sustainable swap, that's what I need to do. And I think I've got a good balance of that really. But yeah, just not getting caught up in perfectionism. My third intention is having some sort of organisational strategy so that living this lifestyle doesn't become overwhelming. Because sometimes if you work full time like I do, trying to do things midweek on top of the things you've already got going on can feel stressful. So I'm going to try and do a Sunday reset, and I see people like on TikTok and they have these like really elaborate Sunday reset like routines, and it's like they meal prep for the whole family on a Sunday and they like restock everything, sanitize their fridge, like literal perfection. I know I'm not gonna be able to achieve something like that. Like going back to point two, I can't be striving for such perfection, but I tried to do a little reset routine this morning and it worked really well. So I'm going to tell you some of the things that I did that were quite helpful that I wouldn't want to do midweek, but I was happy to do them on a Sunday morning. So I didn't actually do this Sunday morning. I did it yesterday because it needed doing. But one of the things is refilling a dog food box. So we have like a plastic storage box that we keep the dog's food in, and then we'll fill it up with their new bags of food once that's run out. So that's a task that doesn't need doing very often, but it's just one of those things that like, we'll open the new bag of dog food and instead of emptying it into the box, we'll just be taking the food out of the bag for a few days instead of just taking the time to tip it into the box. So that's just one of those things. Not really related to sustainability because it's just a plastic bag of dog food. And that's one of my points actually in one of the future intentions. I haven't managed to find a solution for a lot of my dog's items that create plastic or packaging or things like that. But I'll talk about that in a second. Anyway. Continuing with refilling the washing up liquid. So I have a big 5 litre bottle of washing up liquid and then I refill my little bottle that's on the sink. So just getting in the habit of doing that every Sunday would be good. Also refilling a black pepper grinder because I have a massive tub of peppercorns and then a little grinder. We usually use all the peppercorns in the grinder once a week. So just again, get into the habit of refilling that on a Sunday. The same with our olive oil. I buy an 8 litre bottle of olive oil in plastic, but it's a very big bottle, so it lasts probably about 6 months. And then I have a smaller glass bottle that I refill. And then I always have a bag of frozen bananas in my freezer, and they're handy for smoothies and stuff. So again, getting into the habit of seeing what bananas I have in the fridge, and if there's any, there usually is loads, if there's bananas that are going brown and soft, just to break them up and put them into the bag that I have in the freezer. And then also just generally going through my fridge and just making sure there's nothing that's gone off or needs thrown out, or just, you know, wiping it down if it needs it. Trying to keep on top of what's going on in the fridge, because it's very easy to lose track if you don't keep an eye on it. And then a couple of other things, empty the compost. So sometimes I feel a bit lazy and I just leave it, and then it just inevitably makes things far worse. You end up with loads of plastic tubs lying around everywhere with like overspilled compost, which is just a nightmare because it just makes the kitchen look so cluttered. So I just want to keep my two buckets of compost under the sink and empty them every Sunday. And I know that's, I can keep on top of that and that's fine. And then another thing is just whenever I clean the, or my partner cleans the bathroom, to stock up on the toilet rolls, because we keep them in a separate room because I have a massive stock of them. So just taking out a few toilet rolls and putting them into the bathroom. Not getting to like a Wednesday evening when you're about to go to bed and then you find out there's no toilet roll. It's not great. So just keeping on top of that. As well as other bathroom things, like making sure all the towels are clean and folded, and rotating out the bath mats and stuff like that after I've cleaned the bathroom. And then just making sure I've got clean face cloths for taking off my makeup, and reusable cotton rounds are all in their little jar ready to go for the week as well. I also want to keep on top of making sure all my cleaning supplies are ready to go as well. So I don't make many things DIY, only two really. One of them is my multi-purpose vinegar spray, which I just steep some orange rinds in vinegar and then do like a 50-50 water vinegar mix and just have that in a spray bottle. It's good for most surfaces for cleaning apart from granite, because it can corrode granite. So my other DIY cleaner is just an alcohol and soap based one that I just use in the kitchen for disinfecting the surfaces. So again, just making sure these two things, if they need making on a Sunday, just to make sure I do that. And then finally, just to not meal prep for the week, but just make something that I can have going into the week. So I usually make like a batch of soup. I like to call it Super Sunday. Cat hates soup, so he's never interested, but I'm always like, oh, it's Super Sunday again. And I make some sort of soup that lasts probably a couple of days throughout the week. Or I want to start getting to the habit of making hummus on a Sunday as well, because I hate buying it in the plastic tubs, because like, I know that's really silly, I know it's really easy to make at home, but it's just one of those things where you have to just remind yourself to do it and just get in the kitchen, and it doesn't take that long. So yeah, making some hummus for the week would be a good habit to get into at the weekend. Or just baking something that would be nice to eat throughout the week as well, like some cakes or, you know, granola bars, something like that. My fourth intention, and I feel like I do this quite well at the moment, but I think I need some sort of system or some sort of way of keeping track of this. I want to keep tabs on things that I can't get from a regular supermarket. And this is actually more things than you might expect. So I'm just going to run through a list of things that I can't get from a regular supermarket. Toilet roll, because I buy that online because I want to make sure it's recycled paper and there's no plastic packaging. Spices and salt, I either have to get those from some kind of bulk section in a specialist eco store, which usually have very few options, so this is not really a reality for me at the moment. I think some places in Spain are getting these sort of things. I know in Valencia, which is about an hour north of where I live, there's quite a few package-free shops now, but it's not a reality where I live. So I kind of have to mix things up. Some spices I get online and they come in biodegradable packaging. Or some I go to a local cash and carry and I get them in bulk catering sizes, which does come in plastic tubs, but they're huge and they last me about 6 months, and they're tubs that I can reuse for something else, so I'm not too worried about that. The next one is nutritional yeast, and I've only just found a way of getting this without plastic this very week, which I'm very excited about. I managed to get a kilo of nutritional yeast, and if you can't imagine how much that is, it's a lot. I managed to get two large bags of 500 grams each for 11 euros, which I think is an absolute steal, because I was getting a small quantity of it before for around 7 euros. They would occasionally have it in Lidl, or is it Aldi? One of the two anyway, Lidl or Aldi, they would have it in like the special like middle section, but it wasn't a reliable way for me to buy it because they only had it every so often, which was very stressful because if you are sort of vegan who loves nutritional yeast, you know that it's essential and you need to have it in stock. So I didn't like the fact I was relying on Lidl or Aldi to just have it now and again. And then obviously it was expensive and also it was in plastic. So it was just a lose-lose-lose situation I was experiencing with this nutritional yeast. So anyway, I tried a few different online package-free shops to see if I could get it. And they didn't have it anywhere. Like all the different places I'd gotten spices from before, they didn't have it. I'd messaged them saying, are you ever going to have nutritional yeast? Like it's really difficult to find without packaging or just find in general. And they just said, oh no, sorry, that's not like a big thing that's in demand at the moment. So yeah, this week I managed to find this website called Mediterranean Superfoods, and they do lots of different things in biodegradable packaging, including nutritional yeast. So yeah, very good price as well, so I was very happy with that. Something else I don't buy from conventional supermarkets is pasta and rice. I usually get it online in biodegradable packaging, or, which is a better option for me because it's more affordable, I get it from the cash and carry in very large bags. So I get like a bag of 5 kilos of pasta, 5 kilos of rice, five kilos of spaghetti, which is great. It lasts me ages. The only thing I can't get in that format is long grain rice. I can get short grain rice, but not long. So I do get that online. And washing up liquid, that's something else I get from the cash and carry in a large bottle. And then nuts and seeds, I order those online, as well as oats, because I can only get them in plastic in the supermarket. Peanut butter in glass jars, not in plastic tubs, I can only get from one supermarket, which I believe is Lidl. So this is something I have to keep tabs on so that I remember to specifically buy it from Lidl. White vinegar for cleaning, I can only get in 2 litre bottles in one specific shop. So this is again something I have to keep an eye on, otherwise I'd have to buy a 1 litre bottle. So obviously I'd be buying those more frequently, and that's more plastic. And then obviously a lot of my cosmetics, I can't get them from the supermarket. I have to buy them online. So my face products, so my moisturizer, my makeup remover, hand cream, shampoo, all those sort of things, I have to keep an eye on because I order them online. So as you can see, that's quite a number of things to keep up with. And they essentially all come from different places, apart from a couple of things. So yeah, just being really intentional and mindful of what's going on in my kitchen, what's going on in my bathroom, and just making sure that I'm keeping up with these different things, and I know when they're going to run out and I know when they need replacing, just so that I don't go back to conventional things. If I don't keep on top of these things, I'll end up having to just buy spices from the supermarket or just a small bottle of washing up liquid if I run out. Like I don't want that to happen. So yeah, just keeping an eye on what's going on and sort of being aware of what's gonna run down so that I can replace it in good time. So my fifth intention, which goes in hand with this, is I think what I'm gonna do is create like a master list of where I buy all these things so that I can, I think it's mainly like in my head, like I do remember where I get everything from, but maybe it could be helpful for other people. I guess it would be very specific to where I live and the supermarkets that are available to me and the shops that are available to me online. But maybe it could be helpful for someone. I know that I've got a couple of followers who live locally or like a few hours away. So I will make that list, and if anyone's interested, I can let you know. And then my sixth intention, which again is kind of similar to these other two, is getting things on a subscription basis when I can, so as to alleviate some things from my mind, so I don't have to keep track of so many things. Two things I already do this for is my deodorant, which I buy from Wild, and my Wild subscription gets posted I think every 8 weeks, so I never have to worry about running out of deodorant. That takes care of itself, so that's a weight off my mind. And also with dog poo bags, we were getting into a situation where it's usually my partner who does the dog poo collection and he keeps on top of it, but he doesn't have the same brain as me. Like, he's not thinking about what's running out and when and where we get them from and how many days it's going to take to arrive. He's just like, oh, this is the last dog bag on like a Sunday evening. I'm like, what do we do now? So yeah, just getting the dog bags on a subscription that just comes every so often has been really good, because it just takes the thought out of it. And like, I don't have to have a go at him for letting the dog bags run out, and I don't have to worry about it myself. Like, I can just have them turn up I think it's every month. So that's good as well. My seventh intention is keeping up my visits to the local vegetable market. So the reality is, I have to go to the market. The market's every Tuesday morning. So obviously I work full time, so I have to go to the market before work. And I don't start work until 10, like I'm not there at like 8 o'clock in the morning, which is great. But it is still difficult when I've got a set routine, when I get up at a certain time and I do whatever I do in the morning, to try and fit in going to the market on a Tuesday. It's not easy. So I really want to keep up doing it though, because it's so much easier to buy plastic free fruits and vegetables from the market, and I think most of them are locally grown and locally sourced. So this is really something I want to keep up with, but it's just making that little extra effort to get up that little bit earlier, or just switch around with the order I do things in the morning, so that on a Tuesday I do have time to go down there and do it, because it is very close to my house. Like, it's only probably a 5 minute walk from my front door to the market. I'm very lucky, but it's just annoying that I have to do it before work on a Tuesday. But it is worth doing, and I am going to continue to do it. And kind of in a similar way, my eighth intention is to try and buy things locally before turning to Amazon. I think all of us know how tempting it is, if you think of something that you need, just to immediately go to Amazon on your phone and order it. And it can be very frustrating, especially where I live, because recently I have tried to try and cut down on Amazon and try and go to other places first. But I just had no success. Like, the last twice I've tried to do that. One of the things I wanted was a spray mop, because I live with two dogs who are always like creating paw prints and stuff. So I just wanted like a quick solution to mop up their paw prints or whatever if they make a mess. So a spray mop, I literally went, I'm not joking you, to 4 physical stores and then contacted about 3 others online, all locally to me. Not just in my village, but in the town where I work, in a couple of neighbouring towns. Not a single place could supply me with a spray mop. So I had to order it on Amazon. Like, I really wanted one, and it's something I've been thinking about for a while. It wasn't like an impulse purchase. I did really think it would be useful, and it has been very useful since I've had it. So I just had to buy it off Amazon. I didn't see any other way around it. And then another thing was, I wanted to get my partner a new dressing gown for our anniversary that's coming up this month. And there was a local shop in my village that sells pajamas and dressing gowns and whatnot. So I contacted them and said, oh, do you have any dressing gowns in stock for men? And she said, oh, I'm really sorry, but COVID has messed up our deliveries and we won't have any until the end of February. So again, I go on my little endeavours trying to not use Amazon and do my best, but once again, I had to recur to Amazon because it's the only place I could get a dressing gown. So yeah, these are two probably exceptions. So there's probably other things that I've bought from Amazon before that I could have found locally. I try not to, and I'm going to continue doing that throughout 2021, just only using it when I absolutely have to. So now for number 9, I'm going to tell you about some swaps that I'm leaving behind. Some of these I've spoken about before, so I won't go too heavily into them. One of them, as you know, I think, is the dishwashing block. Didn't work for me. It might have been the brand or type of soap I was using, but I'm sure there's better ones out there. But the one I used was not great, so I'm leaving that swap behind. Another one was soap nuts. I spoke about this on the last podcast, I think. But they just weren't washing our clothes properly, so that's a swap that I tried and I'm leaving behind in 2020. I also tried a different alternative. I tried the laundry strips from the brand True Earth, but then I realised they were being sent from Canada, and I was like, well, God, surely that defeats the purpose of me having them. What's the point in having them sent from Canada? That's such a long way. So yeah, I just used up my True Earth strips and then switched back to like a local shop bought laundry detergent. I'm happy with that for now. Like, maybe I'll look into a more eco-friendly solution later in the year, but for now, like, I'm just happy with that. After having what I feel like were dirty clothes from the soap nuts for a year, I'm just happy to have my clothes smell clean and fresh. Another swap that I tried and I didn't like last year was a salt rock deodorant. So you might have heard of this. It's like a solid, it's just like a piece of rock that supposedly is supposed to work as a deodorant if you wet stone. It did not work for me at all. Like, I was just stinking all the time. I live in a hot climate. Well, most of the year, obviously it's cold in Spain at the moment, but a lot of the year here it's hot. So I do need a reliable deodorant, and that one really didn't work for me. So that's staying in 2020. And then finally, I'm leaving behind quote unquote natural skincare. So I don't mean to demonize all natural skincare, like I'm sure some of it is fine, but I think if you have sensitive skin or your acne prone skin, you need more than just, you know, a Lush facial moisturizer bar or something like that. That might work for some people, but I needed something a little bit more elaborate for my skin. I'm not getting any younger either, guys. This year I'm going to be 28, which is terrifying, but I felt like I needed something a bit more nourishing for my skin with like active ingredients. And I have, especially with the masks as well at the moment, quite acne prone skin under like my mask area, and I have to work really hard to keep my skin like clean and moisturized and keep that at bay. Yeah, so I just felt like I needed to level up to some more luxurious skincare at this time in my life. So I ditched my Lush moisturizer bar, and I've switched now to a brand called Face Theory, which I really like. So they're still zero waste because the packaging is, for example, the moisturizer is in a glass jar with a metal top. There's no plastic whatsoever. I think they're also a carbon neutral company. I might be wrong, but they're obviously cruelty free and vegan. They're made in the UK, very ethical practices from what I can see. So yeah, I really like Face Theory, and their products work really well for me as well. My mom bought me one of their perfumes for Christmas this year, and I absolutely love it. Like, it's such a unique smell. I've never had a perfume like that before. So yeah, I really like them. And then my 10th intention are some swaps that I loved this year. Some of them that were new to me, some of them maybe I'd discovered beforehand, I'm not sure, but things that I want to bring into 2021 for sure. I used a safety razor for the first time in 2020, and I was really scared before I got it, and I was really worried that I was going to cut myself lots or that it was going to be difficult to use or whatever. And I was really pleasantly surprised. Like, I've really just took to it straight away, didn't really cut myself any more than usual, just like maybe one or two cuts, you know, or nothing. And I haven't found it a difficult transition at all. So safety razor is great. Secondhand clothes is, I've been buying secondhand clothes now for a few years. Like, I know when I lived in England, I was already doing that. So maybe 4 years now, but I've got to the point now where I don't buy new clothes at all. I just wear what I've got. And then if I need something new, I'll look for something secondhand, whether that be in a physical charity shop, which most of them are closed now where I live because of COVID, but or there's also an online secondhand shop that I like that's called Percentil. They're very reliable. They have a lot of things, a lot of sizes, a lot of brands. So yeah, that's great as well. My Wild deodorant was a 2020 discovery for me as well, and I absolutely love it. As I mentioned, I've tried other natural deodorants and they're just terrible, so Wild has been really good for me, and I've also got my partner Kat to use it as well, and he likes it, so that's great. Finding a swap for toilet paper was also a win for me in 2020. I found an online catering website that I think they cater for like hotels and stuff, but they let people, like the public, buy from their website, which is great as well. And they sold a massive box of toilet roll, which was recycled paper, and it just literally came in a cardboard box, nothing else, no plastic. So that was brilliant. And it was 96 units in the box, so that's lasted me months and months. I don't even know when I bought this box. I feel like it was early last year, but I might be wrong. So that's been great, because before that I had a terrible solution, which was I managed to find a brand that did toilet paper wrapped in paper, but I could only get them in 6-packs, and they only sold them in one specific supermarket, so I'd have to make a special journey to the supermarket, which was very far out of my way, and that I didn't usually shop in, because I just, it's Carrefour, like I don't like the layout, like it's ridiculous. I just got a problem with Carrefour anyway. So I was just going there specifically to get this 6-pack of toilet roll, and I'd get like a few at a time. They were really expensive. They were like €4 for 6, And that was really adding up. So I knew I had to find something to replace that. So I'm really, really happy that I found that website that sold this massive box of them. And I think for 96 units, it was just under 50 euros. So yeah, that worked out really well for me. And then for number 11, my intention is just to accept that the following things I'm not going to be able to find a substitute for, or I don't want to find a substitute for, and they're just going to stay as they are. So the first one is oat milk. So you might say, why can't you just make your own oat milk? We know that Tetra Paks are not good for the environment, that Tetra Paks are the packaging that most oat milks come in, because they're a composite of plastic and metal and cardboard all fused together. The reality is I've tried to make my own oat milk, and every single time I've attempted to do it, I've tried different quantities, different recipes, blending it for a certain amount of time, letting it rest for a certain amount of time. Every time I make it, it comes out disgusting. I'm used to having like a really nice creamy barista style milk, and I just can't stomach anything else, like in coffee or even on my cereal. I think I've just got to accept that it is what it is. Like, I'm going to continue buying milk in packaging for my partner as well. Like, and he likes oat milk in his coffee, and he wouldn't be drinking anything that I had made in a blender out of oats and water. So got to accept that one. The same for orange juice as well. I get that in a Tetra Pak. And there was a time where I was buying bags of oranges and squeezing them at the weekend and making orange juice for the rest of the week. And I think that's okay to do sometimes, but to be honest, it was costing me a fortune. It's costing me far more to buy the oranges and to squeeze them myself than it was just to buy orange juice. So, and then the time that it takes to do that as well, it's not sustainable for me. Like, it might be more sustainable for the planet, but it's not sustainable for me personally. So I've had to let that one go, and just, I like to drink orange juice every morning. That's not something I can give up. So I've just got to continue buying it from the supermarket, I think. And then finally, something I don't have a solution for, but I don't think I'm ever going to have a solution for, is dog poo bags. So I do buy biodegradable bags. But if you're picking up your dog's poo and you're putting it into a bin, into just a landfill bin, as we know, it's not going to biodegrade as it would if it was in like a natural state. If it's trapped in with all the other landfill waste and it's being pushed down and the air can't get to it, even if that's a compostable material, it's not going to compost as it should. So I'm not going to stop picking up a dog's poo. I tried a method, or I got my partner to try a method, which he was not impressed with, which was picking up the poo out of the garden and then picking it up with toilet paper and flushing it down the toilet. I've since learned that waste treatment plants cannot treat animal waste in the same way they treat human waste to clean the water. So I had to stop doing that as well. And also my partner hated it, so he was happy to hear that. So really, I can't think of another solution. I haven't got a huge garden where I could potentially have some sort of composting system just for dog poo. And I think that would be, to be honest, disgusting. And it probably would be a health hazard. So yeah, I've tried to Google this and look into what other people do. Some people say they bury it in their garden. Again, like, I don't have the kind of garden to be able to do that. So I think I have to accept that it is what it is. I've got to pick up the dog's poo with a bag. I'll continue buying the biodegradable bags. Does it make a difference? I don't know. And just throwing them in the bin. The only other thing that I have started doing is, instead of putting my bread bags or any other like bagel bags or those sort of stretchy plastic, instead of just putting them in the recycling bin, because from what I've read, they are quite difficult to recycle and often they don't get recycled at all. I thought, okay, I'll give them, instead of recycling them, I'll give them a second use and use them as poo bags. So I do that now, but that's only like every once or twice a week I have a bread bag available. So anyway, that's just like a little extra thing that I've started doing. And then number 12, I've got, my intention is to find some better solutions for the following things. As I mentioned earlier, dog food and dog treats. I get both of these packaged in plastic, and I just have tried to find plastic-free alternatives, and I just can't find anything. Like, I want to make sure I'm giving my dogs good quality food as well. I try and get them like a fish-based, like low cereal percentage kind of food. But yeah, I haven't managed to find one that's like that and also plastic-free, but at the end of the day, like, my dog's health is my priority, so if I have to continue buying it in plastic, so be it. Like, I'm not going to buy a lesser quality food just because it comes without plastic, and sacrifice like the health of my dogs. So that's something I'd want to look into, but I don't really have a solution for it yet. And the same for their chews as well, like their dental chews and stuff. I always get those. They always come in plastic bags. So I know there's a market in the town where I work, but that is about 20 minutes drive from my house. So I know there's a market stall where there's a lady who sells bulk dog treats, and you can just get them in a paper bag, or you can bring your own bag along. But I don't really want to drive over every Sunday to a market that's 20 minutes away. Like, I know that's an unrealistic commitment for me. So I'm going to try and see if I can find them online or something like that, where I can order them without plastic. But that's one of those ones I need to investigate this year. Something else that I don't have a solution for that I haven't been able to find plastic free is coffee beans. I've seen that you can get coffee beans online, and it says you can get them package free, but they're just a lot more expensive. Like, I can't justify paying triple or quadruple the amount for coffee beans than I am at the moment, because let me tell you, my partner drinks a lot of coffee. And one of the things I've helped him to stop doing is buying coffee at coffee shops in takeaway cups, because we know the impact that has on the environment, because this is something he was doing every day, especially when we lived in England. He was going to Costa every day or Starbucks every day and getting a takeaway coffee. So I said to him, why is it that you can't make coffee at home? And he said, well, it doesn't taste the same. So I went to great lengths to replicate real coffee for him at home. So not just saying, oh, okay, here's some instant coffee and some almond milk, like, have your coffee and shut up. I wanted to make it like a nice luxurious coffee experience for him, so that he would stop having takeaway coffee. Okay, I bought a metal cafetiere or a French press, because we had a glass one before that and he smashed it. So I found a sturdy stainless steel one that will last forever, which is great. And then I also got him a coffee grinder so that he can freshly grind the beans in the morning. And then I buy very large bags of coffee beans, so I get them a kilo at a time. So if I wanted to buy a kilo of coffee in these online package-free stores, they are literally, as I said, triple or quadruple the price. And he gets through one of those bags probably once a week, I would say, or maybe once every 2 weeks if I'm lucky. So I really can't justify that amount of money on coffee beans. So I'm a little bit stumped at this point and don't really know what to do. So that's one of these ones that I kind of need to think about and see what I can do, you know. And then finally, and this is really random and specific, but I haven't managed to find bicarbonate of soda, or baking soda, I think it's also known as, without plastic packaging. In supermarkets, or it's always in plastic. Online, I've managed to find it without plastic, but it's a website that I think the delivery fee is like €5, and the product itself is only €5. So I can't really justify that. And there was nothing else on that website that I wanted. So yeah, still trying to find a solution for the old bicarb of soda. So I'm still looking into that. Okay, we're on to the 13th intention. And these are new swaps that I haven't made yet, but I'm planning to make, and I know what I'm going to do. I have a plan. The first one is water filtration. You shouldn't really drink the water out of the tap where I live, because it's quite hard. It's got a lot of calcification and other chemicals that are not great for you. So at the moment, I just use a Brita filter, and I've been using the same Brita filter for probably 6 years. And a while back, I bought loads of filters for it, and I'm just slowly working my way through them. So I think I've got about 5 left, so that'll probably take me quite a while to use. You're only supposed to use them for a month each, but I'll stretch them to longer than that. And then I've got to find something else. So I think what my plan is to buy something called an Ecofiltro or Ecofiltro. So I've seen these. It's a water filtration system that was invented in South America. And it looks really nice. Like, in terms of aesthetics, it's really cute. On the outside, it has like a metal casing, and I think you can get them in a 2 litre format or a 5 litre format, maybe bigger, I can't remember. Anyway, and then it filters it, I think, with clay and carbon. And yeah, from what I've read, it seems really good. If you got the clay filter out from the inside, it looks like a flower pot. And I think it lasts for a couple of years. And then after that, I guess I would just repurpose it as a flower pot in my garden, because this is a problem with a lot of filters that I see. or that I've looked into online, that they are very good and very sustainable while you're using them. But in terms of end of life, there's not really a lot you can do with them. You can't recycle them, you can't reuse them in any way, that you can't compost them. So I wanted something that was genuinely like cradle to grave sustainable, that I could use, that was affordable, that was easy to use, that looks nice, and yeah, that I can do something with it at the end of the day. So yeah, if you're interested, have a look into it. Ecofiltro is what they're called. They're on Instagram, they've got a website, so I think that is a system that will work well for me. The next thing that I'm intending to do this year that I haven't really done before is making my own stock or broth for soups and whatnot. So before, I would just buy stock cubes, which are not very sustainable because they come in those little foil packets, and I think they're like a foil paper fusion, so I don't think you can even recycle them. I think they have to go in the landfill bin, which is where I put them. So yeah, just trying to get away from the stock cubes and making my own stock by keeping any vegetable scraps. So for example, carrot tops or peels, bits of celery, like other scraps that you might have, like broccoli stems or whatever. And I just put them in a big jar and put that in my freezer. And then when I've got enough, I'll boil that in water and then strain out all the vegetables and just keep the broth out of that. And then I think what I'll probably do, just to make it last as long as possible, is put it into like ice cube trays. And then every time I need a little stock cube, I can just pop it out the freezer and put it into my food. That's the best way I can think of doing it anyway. And then the final thing that I needed to find a solution for, and I found a solution now and I'm going to implement this year, is tea. Oh my god, I've been having such a nightmare with tea. I would always just buy regular tea bags, Tetley, PG Tips, whatever I could find in the supermarket. And you have to remember as well that I live in Spain, so we don't have that many tea, black tea especially, it's not a big thing here. People drink maybe like herbal teas, or like the people are more coffee drinkers over here, I would say. So you can get it, but it's generally like UK imports, UK brands. So I always just was none the wiser that tea bags contain plastic, and I would just buy it from the supermarket, normal like English brands that I was familiar with. Then once I realised that tea bags contain plastic and they weren't compostable, I'd been putting them in my compost bin up until that point because I had no idea. I'd literally just thought it was a paper bag and some tea inside. So once I discovered that was not the case, I thought, okay, I need to switch to loose leaf tea. This is what I see all the zero waste people doing. I need to find loose leaf tea. However, as I said, tea is not the beverage of choice in this country. So they do not sell loose leaf black tea in the supermarkets. I have seen loose leaf green tea, but that is not my jam. Like, I do not like green tea. So anyway, I managed to find loose leaf black tea on a website that I ordered from, and I ordered tea, spices, rice, like a big bulk order of loads of things. However, if I only need tea, I can't order from that website because the delivery fee would be too expensive to justify the purchase. So it's one of these situations again where I'd have to put in a huge order including tea, or I can't get it from that website. So that was kind of a dead end for me. And then I found loose leaf tea, black tea, in Carrefour, my nemesis Carrefour, okay? So I thought my problems were solved there. It was a little bag with black tea in. It was probably more expensive than buying tea bags, but I thought, you know what? It's worth it. I'm not contributing to plastic waste. It's fine. So I bought the tea, okay? I get it home. I open up what looks like a nice little brown paper bag containing the tea, and inside it's lined with plastic. So I was so disappointed that I thought I was doing the right thing. I was buying loose leaf tea. And really, those bags, I couldn't recycle them. I couldn't compost them. I couldn't do anything with them. I could only put them in the landfill. So disappointing. So anyway, on doing some more research, I have discovered some good news. PG Tips, a well-known tea brand, has made their tea bags compostable. Thank God. They've removed the plastic from the bag. According to their website, according to sources that I've read, the tea bags no longer contain plastic. And they also make a lot of claims on their website about sustainable sourcing, ethical sourcing, supporting communities that grow the tea. This is a brand that's owned by Unilever. So am I concerned about the veracity of the statements that they make? Yes. Am I willing to believe them because I have a tea crisis on my hands? Also, yes. So until I found a better solution, I'm going to go with the PG Tips. I don't have another solution. So I think that's got to work for me for now. I think, you know, it's the best I can do given the circumstances I'm in. If I manage to find a good loose leaf tea, that's not in plastic, I will revert to that. But for now, I'm going to stick with my PG tips. Okay, we're coming towards the final intentions that I've set for myself for this year. So number 14 is leveling up swaps that I've already made. So what I mean by that is, for example, although I switched to shampoo bars quite a long time ago, either last year or the year before, I was just buying them from Lush or other large companies, which is fine, like that's a step in the right direction. But what I've managed to switch to now is a locally made shampoo bar, which I get from an eco market that they have in my village on a Sunday. It's currently cancelled because of COVID, unfortunately, but I found the seller on Etsy and I can still order from her if I run out of shampoo between now and the market reopening. So that's good and I really like it. So that's the first swap that I've sort of leveled up on. Another one would be from the same eco market, I've managed to find a body lotion that she makes herself and it's sold in little glass jars. So again, I was already buying body lotion that was package free, but I was just buying it from anywhere. But finding one that's locally made, supporting a local business, and it's also zero waste is perfect. That would be my ideal thing. So I'm really glad I found that. And then my final leveled up swap is, instead of just composting food scraps, seeing if there's another way I can use them first. So two things I've tried, one of them I've already mentioned, is making stock from veggie scraps and then composting them. And then another one that I've tried is making coffee scrub for your body. Making a coffee scrub from coffee grounds before composting them is a good leveled up swap as well. And intention number 15 is kind of related to this last thing as well, which is reusing before recycling. So obviously we all know that recycling is a good thing to do, but if we have some way of reusing the item before we jump to recycling, that's always better. So one of the things that's quite fun that I've been trying recently is canine enrichment activities with my dogs. So one of my dogs is really chill. She's a classic greyhound. She loves to just lie around most of the day. And then she has a small burst of energy at some point during the day and she enjoys her walk, but she is very, very laid back and she doesn't like really doing anything. But my other dog, it's very, very excitable, tons of energy. Even when she just had a walk, she still is running around and her brain needs a lot of stimulation. So something that I like to do just to make sure that she's completely exhausted at the end of the day and I know that she's getting enough mental stimulation for that big Pudenko brain is these canine enrichment activities. So what this means is I'll make like games or like fun things for her to do. And I like to combine this with zero waste in the following way. So one of the things I tried last week, and I posted about this on my Instagram, I don't know if I've added it to a permanent story on my Instagram, but I will so you can see, is I made what's called a snuffle mat. So I don't know if you've ever seen this, but a snuffle mat is a great way to use any old underwear or like ripped up t-shirts that you have and turn them into an activity for your dog. So you basically get all your scrap fabric and you cut it into strips about, I don't know, 15 to 30 centimeters long and about 5 centimeters wide. And what you do is you get like a rubber garden mat that you'd use like to wipe your feet on. It has to be one that has like big holes. So you'll get this. I actually had to buy this new, but I think it's worth it because it did use up all the old underwear with holes in and like t-shirts that I had lying around the house. Anyway, so I cut them all up and you have to tie them all onto the mat. It's difficult to describe, but if you go on my Instagram, you'll see what I'm talking about. So you tie them all on and then you end up with like this big like ragdoll mat effect. And then you hide a load of dog treats in the mat. And then the dog basically has to snuffle through and find all these treats and dig them out. And this is really great brain stimulation for them. And I've heard that it's like, it burns as many calories for them as going on like a long walk because it just really engages their senses and gets them like searching and snuffling. So yeah, that was great. And then another zero waste / canine enrichment activity that I've tried this week is actually reusing a box that I had from an online delivery and some toilet tubes that I had collected for composting and also some newspaper that I collected for composting. But I had loads, like I have got loads of leaves and paper and stuff to put in my compost bin, so I had surplus. So essentially I just got the box, I filled it with scrunched up newspaper and toilet tubes, and then I just sprinkled loads of, again, dog treats in there and hid them in the tubes in the newspaper, and then unleashed my dogs on the box, and they would just have to like look through, stick their head in the box, look around for the treats, dig through the newspaper and the toilet rolls. And yeah, they absolutely loved it. It kept them entertained and it was really stimulating for them. So again, a good way to combine reusing things you already have and creating something fun for your animals to do. Okay, a few more to go now. So at number 16, I have no more wish cycling. So this is something that a lot of people fall into. If you really want to recycle everything and you're excited to get into a zero waste lifestyle, you may accidentally be trying to recycle things that are non-recyclable because you so want to end up with no waste going to the landfill that you're trying to put these things into categories in which they don't belong. So you just have to be careful to look up for your area that you live in, what can and can't be recycled, and make sure you stick to it and you're not putting things accidentally in the bins that don't belong, because that's really doing more harm than good. So yeah, it's just my intention to be really careful in 2021 and continue recycling properly and not wish cycling things away. For intention number 17, I have making sure the products are sustainable, but also ethical for animals and people. So it's all very well choosing a product that you think is sustainable because of the packaging, but you really need to look beyond that and think about the overall carbon footprint of that product, as well as the ethics behind it. So is there any animal testing going on? Are people being mistreated? Is there workers' rights issues attached to the product you're buying? Is somebody being exploited in the process of that product being created? So it's just being a bit more mindful, thinking a step ahead of just packaging or just plastic, just taking it a little step further to make sure what you're buying really does align with your ethics. Okay, number 18 for me is helping everybody that I work with. I work for my parents' business, if you didn't already know. Just trying to make sure, I've already done this to a certain extent, but trying to further the sustainable practices at work. So making sure that we're recycling properly, and we're actually going to start composting at work because the system in the town that we work in has changed a little bit. And they are actually going to require everyone who lives in the town to separate out the organic waste from everything else, which wasn't the case before. So I still need to do some research into this, but as far as I know, they are taking that organic matter to be composted, which is incredible. I don't have that in the town where I live at the moment, but I really hope it does extend here because that would be so great. But yeah, the people I work with wouldn't be used to this extent of recycling and composting and separating everything out to this degree. So just to help with that transition and try and help to educate the people I work with and make sure we get it right. And then intention number 19 is to do some sort of volunteering in the sustainability space. Now, this is quite an ambitious one for me because I'm not a very outgoing or sociable kind of person. Like, I'm very shy. I don't like meeting new people. So this would be quite a big step for me. But I know there's some initiatives that happen in my village. I know there's like a litter picking group that go out and collect litter at the side of the road and stuff like that, which I think I could definitely do. It's at a weekend. So I'm going to try and see if I can get involved with something like that. And then my very final intention for 2021 is to keep learning about sustainability, keep watching documentaries, reading books, watching YouTube videos, following sustainable creators on Instagram and TikTok. And I'm really loving sustainable TikTok at the moment. If you haven't checked it out, like, it's really great. And then, yeah, listening to podcasts, of course, and just soaking up as much knowledge as I can to keep expanding what I know. So thank you for listening to all my sustainable intentions for 2021. Hopefully they've inspired you in some way as well to keep going and trying new things and seeing what you can improve on or what you need to let go of. As this is the 10th episode that I've recorded, I think I'm going to call that season one and take a little break from the podcast just to reinvigorate myself, like reimmerse myself in other people's creations to do zero waste, listen to some podcasts and gain some more knowledge, and then I'll probably come back in a month or, you know, a few months time and get started with season two. So if you have any requests about different topics you'd like me to cover when I come back, things that I haven't talked about in season one, I've got so much more to cover. Like, I feel like I've barely covered everything in this first season. So if there's anything specific you'd like me to talk about when I come back, please let me know. My Instagram is @zerowaste_podcast if you'd like to follow me there, and I'll continue posting things on there while I'm taking my little break. So take care and stay safe with the COVID stuff that's happening at the moment, and I'll see you all soon. Bye.